Turn Their Hearts, Commentary for the November 27th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the path to heaven is a pilgrimage, but it is not an easy trip. Beginning in the Slough of Despond, every bit of the way seems strewn with hardships and temptations. Many of the problems Christian, the pilgrim, faces are caused by his own failure to do as he is told. The lesson is that the path to heaven stands on obedience. But this creates an internal conflict in the story. When Pilgrim goes astray at Mount Sinai, he is told that obedience is the wrong choice to make. This seems to be the dilemma faced by many modern Christians as well. It invites a closer look at the purpose of Sinai and the Ten Commandments that were engraved on stone tablets there. Have they really been done away with by grace, as some claim? They claim the nexus for that change was the cross of Calvary. So we might expect that change to stand out in the Acts of the Apostles, the Epistles, or in Revelation. But we find the opposite. The early church continues to worship God instead of other gods. They do not worship idols. They do not abuse God's name. They continue to observe the same Sabbath the Jews have observed for millennia. 84 times after the resurrection of Jesus in the New Testament alone. They continue to believe that one should honor their parents. The Apostle John even took over that task for Jesus at his request during the crucifixion. It also continued to be wrong to murder, commit adultery, steal, lie, and lust after anything that belongs to someone else. It is hard to make an effective argument, then, that the Ten Commandments have been done away with. So if the commandments remain valid, then what is grace all about? To understand that, we must first understand the purpose of the commandments. Ostensibly, some have viewed them as a blueprint for obedience to be able to enter heaven. Rephrased, it is saying that perfect obedience means eternal life. But is that the case? When we try to go down that road, we find ourselves lost and despondent as our failures accumulate. We may even feel that the further we travel that path, the further we get from heaven. Sadly, it is a path that often encourages arrogance and self-righteousness. We may even look down on others because they have failed to be obedient in ways that we feel we have conquered. Too readily, while pointing out their failures, we overlook our own that may be just as bad or worse when compared with a standard of perfection. A few may go as far as to claim perfection, but that claim condemns them, for liars are as condemned as the rest of us. And the Apostle John calls such people liars. When such people hold themselves up as a standard of belief, they're also turning the eyes of others from Jesus to themselves. They usurp the work of the Holy Spirit, making themselves a standard for what is right. While they claim to be enforcing biblical truth, what they're advancing is their perspective couched in biblical language. Paul uses stronger language, stating that among those who claim to be ministers of righteousness are those serving a more troubling master. Little wonder then that the significance of Sinai became distorted. The commandments were never intended to open the gates of heaven, but they are a lock on the gate to exclude us. They reveal us for what we are and condemn us to the only fate that remains outside of heaven, death. We are all violators of that law. John tells us that breaking that law is sin. The law points out our transgression and therefore condemns us for that sin. We tend to associate the Ten Commandments with God in a manner that defines his character by the condemnation we receive. Christ revealed the opposite as God's character. Jesus did not come to condemn, but to save. Paul rejoiced in that. Struggling with facing the condemnation of the law, no matter how hard he tried to obey it, he felt lost, but found salvation through grace with Jesus. Delivered from condemnation, he found hope, a hope that he could share with the world, and many responded eagerly to that hope. Although this was a great light shining in the darkness of the law's condemnation, too many still turned from that light, preferring the darkness. But no one must die in the dark. God wants everyone possible to live. He asks only that we recognize our failure to obey the law and open our hearts to him so that we might find restoration to the original creation we were made to be. He asks us to choose a path that leads toward him rather than away. We were created in God's image, and if God is love, then the reflection of that image would also be love. We were created not to condemn one another, but to love. Unfortunately, over millennia of distancing ourselves from that character, hardening our hearts toward God and one another, we instead blame, criticize, and condemn one another. It has become so intrinsic to who we are that when we encounter others, we impute to them the motives that have become so much a part of us. When someone shares with us how to improve ourselves, we see only criticism and condemnation because we refuse to believe that someone would be loving enough to build us up instead of tearing us down to build themselves up. Sadly, we are more often right. But when we feed into that narrative and allow our relationships to be governed by that perspective, we only perpetuate the problem. We can break free. When we learn to see God's true character, his love, we're drawn to him. The depth of that love, the lengths he was willing to go to so that we could see his character played out on a hill outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Inspired by that example, others over the years have sacrificed even their lives because of that. Several apostles were the first of those over the ages that have offered up their lives as an ultimate act of love and faithfulness. They saw the path heavenward not as an obstacle to overcome, but as an opportunity to live out God's love in their lives, as the image of their characters grew to be increasingly like his. The desire to point out the errors of others is continually replaced with a love in their hearts for others despite their flaws. When we come to God, we are not the loving people we were meant to be. Too often we show in our lives the wounds of betrayal, abuse, criticism, and condemnation, sometimes from the same ones who call themselves Christian. And let us be honest here. Who among us has never wounded a brother or sister? We project our own hurt onto others, and they in turn do the same. Instead of seeing with the eyes of Jesus that they do not know any better, eyes that would bring forgiveness to our hearts, we quickly judge and condemn. 2,000 years ago, God finally said enough is enough and directly intervened to model the character he created us to have. Jesus, with compassion, empathy, and grace, faithfully shared with us how God intended us to be for 3.5 years. Even when he died on the rude cross, he continued to model the character of love. Therefore, we are without excuse when we continue to judge one another in lieu of love. God does not sum up his intent for us in the condemnation of the Ten Commandments. It speaks loudly in two great commandments that do not condemn but inspire. The first is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. The second is to love our neighbor as we would love ourselves. These two would draw the character of God in our hearts. Once love exists in our hearts, the Ten Commandments would lose any power to condemn us, for love fulfills the law. The love that draws us to Christ saves us, and the death sentence of condemnation passes over us. Freed of condemnation, we find the empowerment of love lifting the darkness, and we have a share in that light that Jesus brought to the world, as the light drives darkness from us, that it might better shine for others as it shined for us. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find this commentary and hundreds more like it at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. There you can also find the scripture footnotes that support the thoughts that were shared in this commentary, as well as several podcasts. May God richly bless you and your family.